The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, Sam Turner and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Bath and Beverley in the afternoon, Thirsk and Yarmouth in the evening, and we have Irish Racing from Killarney on Tuesday evening as well. So five meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Very well, Mark. Very well, thank you.
Good. Good weekend to look back at as well, Sean. So we'll start with that. We'll have a look through the Racing Post's Monday jury. We'll get your thoughts in the six questions post there, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's action. So the first question of this week's Monday jury, Sean: what can we learn from the July Cup?
The Slave Power is the best 6 furlong horse around. Yeah. He's the man, and at the moment it doesn't look like anything amongst the crop is good enough to beat him over 6 furlongs. There are a few horses in the race that maybe proved they are out and out 5 furlong horses, and a few of the 3-year-olds, we probably learned that they're not quite as good as their elders at the moment. But of course, we know it's so tough for 3-year-old sprinters, Mark, so that's no surprise. And the likes of, say, Hot Streak, Due Diligence and Astaire may well get there in time, but of course 3 is very, very young for a sprinter.
Yeah, and we've seen with Slade Power himself that they tend to get better with age anyway, don't they?
Yeah, when he was a 3-year-old, he was probably, you know, he was progressive, but he was a good handicapper, wasn't he?
Exactly, yeah. And Eddie Lynham's got proper set of sprinters there, hasn't he?
Doesn't he just, you know, to have the luxury of taking one sprinter out of the race because conditions were deemed unsuited, and the other one to go and win the race. It's an embarrassment of riches, really.
Yeah, and he handles any ground as well, by the looks of things.
Yeah, I'd ask it. It was quick the other day. It was on the slow side. He's just a very, very good horse, and quite a hard one, seemingly, as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the second question involves a couple of 2-year-olds. Does Ivywood or Eshtikdar look a classic prospect for you?
I was quite impressed with Ivywood's performance in the July Stakes. Eshtikdar won the superlative, of course. Ivywood ran out a 2.5-length, 3-length winner in the end over Jungle Cat. Jungle Cat sets a pretty decent level of form. He probably rates the benchmark to that race, having been third in the Coventry and won a decent Goodwood Maiden prior to that. You know, he's quite a reliable yardstick. But the ground had just gone against Jungle Cat, and you know, he looks like a horse who would have preferred it quicker. So whether he'd have got closer to Ivywood, I don't know. But whatever way you look at it, it was a very good performance for a horse making only his second start.
Yeah.
To win as he did, and wherever he goes next, he's going to be, he's going to be one of the ones that they'll have to beat. So you'd have to throw him into the mix as far as classic contenders go. Eshtikdar is a half brother to Tormor.
Yeah.
And at the moment, he looks a pretty similar horse to Tormor. Of course, he'll be running a Goodwood in the Vintage Stakes, a race which Tormor won last year. I just wonder whether he'll end up like Tormor, Mark, a horse who's a little bit stuck between a rock and a hard place. Having been champion 2-year-old last year, he's probably just not gone on as much as some of his some of the others in his generation, the likes of, say, Kingman, Knight of Thunder, et al.
Yeah.
And whether the same will happen to Eshtikdar, I don't know. I think the Superlative looked a slightly weak race on paper as well, Mark. So, I'd rather myself have Ivywood going forward.
Okay, Ivywood then in that one. On to the fillies next, Arabian Queen and High Celebrity. What did you make of those two?
Arabian Queen proved that she's tough to come out of the Royal Meeting 3.5 weeks later and go and win the Cherry Hinton. It was a good performance from her and an excellent front-running ride from Ryan Moore. High Celebrity may be the more interesting of the two going forward. She might have a little bit more scope than Arabian Queen, but both are very decent fillies, aren't they?
Yeah, yes. Arabian Queen's attitude was pretty good. She's not the biggest, but then again, I'd just like to write to you. I know the race kind of fell in her lap a little bit with the favourite, the one from France, missing the break, but showed a game attitude to stay out in front.
Yeah, she did. She's very tough. Her dam, Barsheba, was quite a tough mare. I'm sure David Ellsworth trained Barsheba as well. Hayley Turner might have won the Lancashire Oaks on Barsheba maybe 4 or 5 years ago. As you say, she's got a likeable attitude, high celebrity, wasn't suited by the way the race unfolded for her. And as I say, she does look to possess a little bit more scope than Arabian Queen. But both fillies look like they've got more wins in them at pattern level.
Okay. Anything else gets there at Newmarket?
I was there the first day. I was impressed with Hartnell. He looks to be going forward at a rate of knots. He won the Bahrain Trophy, of course. Integral proved that she's the best filly around in the Falmouth. It was a clash of fillies who had all been kept to different routes thus far this season. And Integral was impressive. I think the Hannon filly in the same race looks as if she may be... looks as if her best days might be behind her.
Sky Lantern,
yeah, absolutely. She, of course, was a Guineas winner last year, but she's just now struggled in two runs this season. And the question is hanging over her head. And, Slade Power, as I say, he was very impressive winning the July Cup. Of the two-year-olds that won at the meeting, I think Ivor Wood would rate the best of them. So a very good meeting overall, and... I'm sure there'll be plenty of winners come out of it.
Yeah. We didn't just have Newmarket this weekend either. We had York and Ascot on Saturday, two very good cards at those two venues. Anything else stand out to you from those?
I was at York Friday and Saturday, and I was impressed with Farage's performance in the John Smith's Cup.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the performance of Flaming Spear in the Maiden at York as well. He was a horse I'd seen at the Breeze Ups. I'd actually seen him prior to going to the Breeze Ups over in Ireland at his farm. Saw him at the Breeze Ups, and obviously David Redvers was very interested in him as well, because they stretched to buy the horse, and he looked a little bit green in the middle part of the race on Saturday, Flaming Spear, but he quickened up nicely, and you'd imagine it'll only be a matter of time before he makes his mark in group company. I'll be honest with you, I didn't see a huge amount of the racing at Ascot for the reason that there was just too much racing on Saturday, and you can't keep your eyes on everything. So sort of York was the main meeting for me, and obviously I was keeping my eye on things at Newmarket, but just couldn't watch all the racing across the country.
No, and that leads us on to the final question of this week's Monday Jury. Is it a waste to have so many good contests on one afternoon?
Yeah, most definitely. Sadly, it won't change until the power is maybe taken away from the race courses own the fixtures. And in my opinion, the BHA should have the say over when and where meetings are run. That would make for a more fair going on. And for me, it's just so obvious what should be done with last week. Newmarket should move back to its old slot. It was never a weekend meeting. The July meeting was always a midweek meeting. Mm-hmm. It worked because you had the July meeting and then everyone rolled up to the John Smith's meeting at York on the weekend. That was the way it went. So to compress the two meetings just seems stupid. And the fact that Newmarket was a midweek meeting before, they should go back. York should stay Friday, Saturday. Saturday should be Magnet Cup Day. Chester have always had that meeting on the Saturday. So in fairness, I don't think you should be taking that off them. But the question mark should maybe be raised as to whether Ascot should race on the Sunday. They were one of the more recent ones to bring in that meeting on the Saturday. Of course, they have big meetings on Sundays as well, Ascot. I think the Hong Kong Sprint Day is run on a Sunday, and they get an excellent crowd. So for me, Newmarket, the big day should be Friday, York and Chester Saturday, and maybe Ascot on the Sunday. And then it will make for much better viewing for all of us who are interested in racing. We could all digest it that bit better, and it would make it easier for trainers, owners and jockeys as well. Just the logistics of having runners at four or five meetings on this over last weekend was mad. You read page three of the Racing Post today. Ed Walker is the trainer in points. He'd runners at Hamilton, York, Salisbury and Longchamp, all coming out of his Newmarket base. And he was just one of many trainers to have to be making several trips here, there and everywhere across the country. So no, it just seems like we're getting a little bit of an overload, particularly on that weekend that we've just had.
Yeah, and it would make it into a fantastic week, wouldn't it? If you had Newmarket early on in the week, then the weekend, the Saturday action from York and Chester, and then you move on to Ascot on Sunday, it would just be a cracking week all the way through.
Yeah,
wouldn't it?
It'd be almost like a little mini festival moving around the country.
Be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, top class racing, as you say, at each respective meeting. So, no, I think it would make sense, but common sense doesn't often prevail.
Unfortunately not. Anyway, let's move on to Tuesday's action. Sean's going to look at three races for us at Beverley, and we'll get his thoughts in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday's action. We're going to look at three races at Beverley, and the first of them is the 2 o'clock. We start here with a maiden auction stakes over 5 furlongs. It's for 2-year-olds, and we have 17 of them in the lineup for this. And you have a runner here, Sean, your father's yard. Prince of Clowns, what do you make of his chances going into this?
He's got a very tough ask, Mark, from stall 17, drawn 17 to 17. I think you get a group class performer beaten from that draw, and he's certainly not a group class performer. So no, we'll run him because you know, we're happy with him, and he's ready to run. Beverly's just down the road, and worst way, on you're one step closer to getting a mark. But if he was to win from 17, I'd be shocked, unless the heavens open, we had monsoons of rain and it was bottomless, they came up the stand side, but that looks unlikely. I know the going is on the easy side, but I can't see it getting too much softer. So no, I'd say we're hopeful rather than confident with Prince of Clowns. One horse that I fancied in the race actually has a similar sort of draw out wide in stall 13. That's Brian Ellison's charge, Jerry the Glover, who was second on debut behind also Richard Farr. He's called Al Gomery in a maiden up at the Northumberland Plate meeting. That was a very encouraging start for and Jerry the Glover. Just over a fortnight ago, this horse cost $17,000 as a yearling, and that looks money well spent. He looks to possess a fair amount of abilities. Half brother to last year's Super Sprint winner Peniophobia, and there are other quick horses in the pedigree, and this horse looks to have inherited a good deal of their ability as well. So he'd be an interesting one. Richard Fahey's debutant Thorkill Star. Be interesting to see which way this horse goes in the market. He was a £12,000 breeze up purchase, so not a dear breeze up purchase, but still is interesting from a good draw in stall one. I think you'd have to respect Tim Easterby's horse Eyeglass from stall four. This horse ran a good race when second at Redcar on debut behind Prince Bonaire. But for me here, I'm going to take a chance on one that's a little wider than ideal, but hopefully has the requisite class to overcome it, and that's Jerry the Glover.
Okay, Jerry the Glover then, and I suppose it's fair to say Brian Ellison's runners usually need the first outing, don't they? So for him to finish second on debut,
yeah,
quite encouraging.
As you say, it wouldn't be a yard that necessarily sends first time out winners left, right, and centre, but they did have a first time out winner at Beverley in these same colours earlier in the year, so they look to have an okay bunch of 2-year-olds.
Okay, the 3:30 at Beverley is where we'll go next. This is a Class 4 handicap over the extended 2 miles for 3-year-olds and over. 7 of them in the lineup here, Sean. Which one should we concentrate on?
I think one down towards the bottom, or a couple down towards the bottom. You've got the Hattrick Seeking Long Shadow, who's won races at Thirsk and Musselburgh of late, and looks to be an improving performer. This son of Monson has connections have stepped him up in trip. He's improved each time, so I think he's got to be a major player. But his handicap mark is rising accordingly, so he's got to step forward again. But for me, the interesting one has to be the bottom horse, New Tara Bella. James Tate's horse is a son of New Approach, so very well bred. Cost $28,000. At the breeze-ups last year, so wasn't a dear buy, but was presumably too backward to do himself justice at a breeze-up sale. This year, though, his form reads pretty well. He was third behind Vent de Force last time out at Haydock in a race that I think will work out well. And in maiden company, 3 starts back, he was second behind Alex My Boy, who, of course, has gone on to do well. We know how much weight 3-year-olds receive weight for age this time of year, particularly over a distance such as this. You know, they're running over the 2 miles. I think 3-year-olds are getting £19 off their elders, which is huge. I think New Tara Bella can make that pay, rather.
Okay, new Tarabella then in the 3:30 and on to the 4 o'clock next. This is a Class 4 handicap over the extended mile, and 11 of them in the lineup. Several of these coming into this in pretty good form, Sean. So which ones do you like it?
Yeah, this is tough, isn't it? Mm-hmm. As you say, there are a lot of informed performers. You've got the likes of Sophisticated Air, who showed a good attitude at Leicester last time out to just beat Field Gunner Kirkup. If the ground stays on the easy side, I think that will suit Sophisticated Air. That was only his first run for David O'Meara, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes on from that first run. Down the bottom, Mark Johnson runs a maiden, that is Potent Embrace, a horse who's making his handicap debut off a mark of 74, or rather her handicap debut. But she's by Street Cry out of Karen's Caper, who was a high-class performer. But I just imagine this horse might be more comfortable on a quicker surface, despite the fact that she was able to finish second on soft ground last time out. Dark Ocean is in decent form, was second behind I'm Super 2 in a Hamilton race last time, but that was weaker than this. Eni Mack likes it here at Beverly, won here first time up this year, but maybe in the maybe as high as he wants to be now. He's probably the pace angle in this race, Eni Mack. Shadow Time was a winner last time out, beating Checkpoint in a competitive enough race at Pontefract. But I'm going to stick with Sophisticated Air. He won off a mark of 73 last time out, up to 77. There was a lot to be liked about the way he fended off Field Gunner Kirkup. And the third place was My Son Max in a tight finish. And it'll be interesting to see if he can improve again.
Okay, Sophisticated Air then in the 4 o'clock at Beverly. Let's just have a quick summary, Sean, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, in the 2 o'clock at Beverly, I'm going to go with Jerry the Glover, horse who made a promising debut at Newcastle first time out when not being beaten too far. We then take a look at the 3:30 race again from Beverly, the staying handicap. And new Tarabella is a three-year-old who's in receipt of lumps of weight for age. And I think that this son of new approach can make that pay. And then in the Beverly 4 o'clock, we have a 0-80 handicap for three-year-olds and upwards. I'd be interested in the three-year-old in this race, or one of the three-year-olds in this race. That's Potent Embrace, but I think this filly might appreciate drier ground, so Connections may be hoping for a dry 24 hours. Sophisticated Air, though, impressed me with his attitude when winning on debut for this stable at Leicester last time, and he is the vote to go in again.
Okay, good stuff, Sean. Thank you very much. Enjoy on Tuesday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Sam Turner and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Bath and Beverly in the afternoon, Thurskin Yarmouth in the evening, and we also have Irish racing from Killarney as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.